Today my topic is believing in an unreal reality. We think we can tell real from unreal. All we have to do is use our five senses and maybe a little bit of common sense. But this does not work. If we rely solely on the five senses, only things that we can see with our eyes, smell with our noses, notice with our touch, hear with our ears, and taste with our mouths will be real. Looking across the room, I can see a kitchen appliance. The light, which I cannot see, is reflected off of the stainless steel refrigerator. It penetrates my eyes through a complex series of chemical reactions, so I'm told. The brain will interpret the signals, and I say, "Oh, I'm looking at a stainless steel refrigerator, and it is solid in its structure." I am told, again by scientists, that the door on the refrigerator and everything else that I may believe is solid is not solid. The solidity is not real, but it is my reality. The electrons and protons, etc., that compose matter are always moving. Solid connotes immovable. The idea of something being immovable is unreal. Nowhere is this problem of believing in an unreal reality more noticeable than in politics in the United States. People became convinced that a predator acquirer would take care of them because he was a master liar and blamer. He blamed various groups, so people eager to dodge responsibility for their lives' conditions being all totally messed up jumped on board. If you follow politics, you will end up shaking your head at the presentation of different realities that are unreal. When someone's hands is in the cookie jar and you and others deny seeing that act, we have an unreal reality. Even though U.S. politics seem like a volcano erupting in unreal reality multiple times a day, on the personal level, for white people, the most problematic area is what unreal realities we believe about ourselves, our lives, what's possible, etc. The reason I differentiate white people is because black people and brown people are personally and directly affected by the unreal realities of white people, especially those white people in authority and carrying guns. My residency in the United States is not threatened. My life is not in danger when I'm seen by the police. Those situations are very real reality for non-whites in the U.S., though. How we see ourselves in the world is comprised of two major problems. Our views of ourselves are unreal, even though we think they are reality. And our views of the world, its other occupants, are unreal, though we think they are reality. It's no wonder so many of us struggle in life. How can we live effectively if our perceptions of reality are not real? Imagine this extreme analogy. It's like we can't tell what is up and what is down. Don't you think that if that were the case, we would struggle a lot? One of the most difficult things for people is to accept that what they believe is real may not be real. If a person can be open to this possibility, great awareness can be received. A closed mind is just like a closed door. Nothing can get in. If the first divine imperative is for growth, allowing energy, that is awareness, nutrition, oxygen, etc., to enter is essential. Otherwise, we will be thwarting divine will. One of the other dangers of being closed-minded regarding your view of reality is that it puts you in a position of rejecting too much. Any version of reality different from your own has to be rejected. A reality not accepted as real by most people is that rejection penetrates the body, the cells, the tissues, the bones, the minds, and the hearts. When the body starts breaking down because of self-rejection, people can't understand why they are suffering. the most fundamental fact of reality repeatedly emphasized by Christ in the letters is that the reality of our lives is created by the quality of our thoughts. Most people don't want to hear that they are the creators of the conditions they are experiencing. Because people believe in the unreal reality of a punitive God, a God who prefers others over them, the badness of their own behaviors that warrant punishment and suffering, they do it to themselves. The three main religions have foisted unreal realities for thousands of years, and fears that accompany these untruths embed themselves deeper and deeper into the consciousnesses of the believers. How else could you explain people using their God of love to justify incredible levels of cruelty being heaped by them on other people? It seems as if it would be easy to make the point that our individual perspectives create the realities we believe in. We could take food, any number of activities, even the weather, to show that just because I think the flavors of Indian food are the best of any cuisine, doesn't mean my reality is your reality. Some people will argue that French food is better, or Chinese food, or Spanish food is better and more flavorful. How could we have different realities on something so obvious? Whose religion is better? Who is a better person? Whose politics are the best? Which country on earth is the best? What clothing is the best? Heck, we could even question what we mean by the word reality. We certainly understand the idea of perspective. Standing physically or mentally or emotionally in one place and believing we see all there is to see is our problem. Looking at a situation, condition, problem, or challenge from different angles often yields new perspectives that allow awareness to be received. This expansive process is how compassion, respect, and understanding can be increased in relationships. One of our most important needs is the need to be right. That means we have to have the answers and to be right. And to be right, we have to defend what we believe to be right. If someone were to tell us we are wrong, we'll usually interpret this as criticism, maybe even as a personal attack. Our ego, to defend our individuality, will either provoke us into counterattack or into running away. The idea that we are wrong is a point on a dangerous spectrum that is connected to death and non-existence. And it's clear we don't want either one of those conditions to exist. I woke up the other day and realized I'm colored. The sheets on the bed I arose from were white. I'm not white. I was journaling a little while later on white line three-hole paper. The paper, except for the blue horizontal lines and one vertical red line on the left margin, was white. I am not white. My color is more like a beige. If I spend time in the sun, my color can become pinkish. And sometimes when I've overdone time in the sun, I'm reddish. Reddish, but not the color of first Americans. Their color reddish is different than my color reddish. I've seen people who describe themselves as black Americans, but I noticed their color is not black at all. They are usually brownish. Now, I want to go online and I want to find the colors identified by a company, I think it's Pantone, and compare my color to this system of color identification. I remember being amazed as a teenager when I worked in a drugstore. I sold suntan lotion to white people and skin whiteners to black people. Of course, these people weren't really white or black. They were colored differently, and the colors they were weren't the colors they aspired to be. Of course, for marketing purposes, companies try to convince people of unreal realities so they will buy products. Hey, your skin color is not the best for you. The good news is that you can do something about it. Look at this great product. It's just what you need. Not many white people are walking around openly admitting, I'm not the right color. Woe is me. I can imagine, however, there are black people, especially those terrorized by the police, who will say, "Damn, I wish I were white. I wouldn't have these bullet holes in my body if I were white." I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. Roman Catholics, in order to be devoted Catholics, have got to believe in unreal realities. It is quite a list of strange ideas that must be accepted, such as Jesus was the only Son of God. Human sins are forgiven by God because people tortured and murdered his son. That doesn't sound like the way to win favor, but if you're a Catholic, you can buy into that. Catholics can eat his body and drink his blood during communion thanks to the invention of a concept called transubstantiation. A little piece of baked flour becomes Jesus' body. Wow. Original sin, promoted by Augustine in, something like 453 A.D., is accepted. And that means we're born sinful just because we're born. The Trinity, which nobody understands, is accepted as real. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But no female energy? I look around, I see a lot of female energy on planet Earth, but I guess it doesn't fit into this idea designed by men to describe the Trinity. Women are subjugated due to Eve's being blamed for Adam eating the apple. And I guess that is the reason they can't be priests. Heaven and hell, that's a promise and a threat, and used as a carrot and a stick to get people to obey them. And abnormal celibacy is promoted as a good thing, and pedophilia is overlooked and hidden. I'm sure that list could go on and on describing unreal realities that people buy into. But I'm going to try to return to the topics within this topic that I believe, correctly or incorrectly, that are the most important in terms of their impact on a person's quality of life. First, your connection and communication with your source of being, however you define that, has to be two-way and constant, so as to elevate your awareness. Second, you have to realize that beliefs, opinions, viewpoints about this and that are made up. They're invented. They're not necessarily accurate or real. Third, being open to the possibility of receiving awareness that gives a greater clarity on what is real and what is unreal is essential to stress reduction and increased happiness. Christians like to believe in magic, like the magic of God's grace absolving them from responsibilities for their actions. They have commoditized their God of love. So there are two versions. There's God's love, and then there's God's love, and it's labeled grace. Fourth, the law of cause and effect has to be understood. If it were, human behavior would improve. When the effect shows up long after the cause, people don't make the connection of, "Oh, I see why this happened." Today it's more like, "Why me? Why me?" Fifth, to continue with cause and effect, we need to grasp that we cause with our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. The higher the vibration of those thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, that is, the more toward love they are, the better we can expect the effects to be. In other words, if we want to experience wonderful effects in our lives, we have the power to cause them. This is a political, moral issue that horrifies me. Certain powerful public figures in the United States are instigating preemptive attacks on other countries such as North Korea and Iran, thinking that if we kill millions of their citizens, the only result will be a large number of their dead citizens. That is believing in an unreal reality. No one would expect gravity to stop working just because gravity at times is inconvenient. How we expect the law of cause and effect not to work is unbelievable to me. Can you imagine that if we were to sow the death of millions of people in either of those two countries and then had to contend with the reaping of millions of deaths of our own citizens in this country? If we knew that could happen, do you think we would be eager to bomb Iran or North Korea or anywhere else? I don't. The major religion's distortion of reality has led to the greatest suffering on the planet. Had every child in Sunday school, catechism class, or Jewish shul been taught the law of cause and effect, all of a sudden, balancing self-interest, brotherly love, and for the most aware people, unconditional love would be the goal. Here is a reality that's real. Energy moves. Energy moves energy. If we want to accomplish anything, we will need to move energy, our own and other forms of energy too. We need to put out before we pull in. Years ago, when I was a sales manager, I had a sales representative who had problems with the discipline of doing paperwork correctly and in a timely fashion. While I was counseling him, he said, "If you will promote me to account executive, I'll do better on my paperwork." He was promising me the effect if I would promote him. He would then cause what I wanted, accurate, timely submission of his paperwork. I declined his offer. He left the company shortly thereafter. This type of negotiation is based on the misunderstanding of cause and effect. People negotiate with their imagined God, an unreal reality in most cases, for gifts of health and wealth and happiness and love in exchange for doing good things later. A hilarious take on negotiating with God was a sequence in a Burt Reynolds movie titled The End. He was swimming offshore a long way in order to drown himself. But when he got a long way from shore, his will to live got triggered. He started negotiating with God to save him in exchange for a whole list of good behaviors that he promised. As Bert got closer to shore and safety, he began changing his offers of good behaviors. There were several iterations of these revised offers until he landed on the shore. Then he completely reneged on the deal. "Give me the effect I want, and I will improve my causing." Good luck with that backwards promise. Most people believe in the reality that they process through their five senses. If you have any background of experiences that involve something other than your five senses, you will believe in the reality of the unseen. I was familiar as a child with the notion of extrasensory perception, ESP. ESP is dealing with something beyond the five senses. My oldest sister, Daphne, could answer the telephone before it rang and address the caller by name before they spoke. Conversations about ESP at the dinner table were common in my family of origin. And this was during the time when Duke University was trying to determine if ESP even existed. In July 1969, my mother and two of my four sisters introduced me to automatic writing. In automatic writing, we were communicating with an unseen discarnate being. It was the most remarkable and reassuring experience. My belief in a benevolent creator soared. In the days that followed, I had experiences that seemed otherworldly, and they were protective, as I was about to start Officers Candidate School in Fort Benning, Georgia. I was even more reassured. It's sad that people who only believe what their five senses tell them exists struggle so much. We can't see gravity, we can't see light, but we accept their existences. We see the effects of gravity and light, so we believe that they exist. Those times when you or another had thoughts of another person and felt compelled to call on the phone, or today, perhaps text or email them, How did that impulse to make contact get to the other person? Through the unseen. That's how. Believing in an unreal reality is not all bad or negative. A person who is 50 pounds overweight who decides to be lighter will start by believing in the unreal reality of, I'm 50 pounds lighter, or I can be 50 pounds lighter. Realities become real because we add our energy to the thoughts and images connected to that reality. This is why we notice things that validate our made-up beliefs and don't notice or don't accept things that are contrary to our beliefs. On any journey, spiritual, mental, emotional, or physical, where we are is reality, and where we want to go up to this point is an unreal reality. I am at point A, and I want to go to point B. I could take the point that B exists. Yeah, it does exist as a mental construct, but you being located at B is still an unreal reality. The most exciting part of converting an unreal reality into a real reality is this is what we are designed to do. All creating is this process. Something doesn't exist. We add energy. Now something exists. Something as mundane as making breakfast for yourself follows this pattern. You don't have breakfast. You add energies. You now have breakfast. I speak Spanish. I used to speak Spanish well, but without practice, my speaking has diminished. The reality I want is to speak and read Spanish well again. How can I make this a real reality? Just like the example of making breakfast, I add energy. In the late 1970s, I was about to be promoted to a position that involved computers, about which I knew almost nothing. Every day at lunchtime in Manhattan, I would quickly eat the brown bag lunch I brought to work and go to one computer store or another. I would look at and touch the computers and printers. Then I would buy a magazine, usually Byte, B-Y-T-E, because at that time it was the biggest, had the most ads, and the most articles. When I started to look at the magazine, I recognized about 1% of the words describing computers. Over time, though, the words in the ads and the articles started to make sense. I was becoming more fluent in personal computers. I was reminded of this experience because I just bought the Spanish version of the Reader's Digest. At first glance, I had a twinge of anxiety because there were so many words and expressions that I did not know. Remembering my lunchtime forays to computer stores helped me realize I could assimilate Spanish words and phrases. All I had to do was add energy and do it. Being in Mexico, watching Netflix on my iPad brings up Spanish subtitles for English-speaking movies. On the other hand, if the movie was an Italian movie or a French movie or a Spanish movie, the subtitles are in English, and that amuses me. This is the proverbial fork in the road for you and for me. We can believe in the present unreal reality as one path, and we can stay on that. Or we can choose to believe in another unreal reality that, when it becomes real, through our energy application, we will change our lives for the better. We need to search for new things to reach for, to believe in, to grow into. Otherwise, we become stagnant, polluted, sick, and then die. As I recite the prayer in a moment, it may be unreal to you at first, but you can make it real just by adding your energy to it again and again. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.